for the distant mountains. Smashing aside a split rail fence, the ranger rolled into the marketplace of the civilian town. Single-story cabins of scrap wood and tar paper lined both sides of the common. Produce was strewed about, and carts overturned. The area had been vacated in a hurry, yet every cabin door was closed, a most singular incongruity. The ranger slowed, wary of a trap. Across the market, a corporal stepped into view from behind a water barrel, drew a Vary pistol from his belt, and put a single round into the air. He died a microsecond later, the charred corpse reduced to little more than ashes with boots. But the ranger slowed, knowing something was about to happen. Then, the front of the cottages violently disintegrated as 50 muzzle-loading cannons fired in unison. The barrage of iron slammed into the tank, rocking it back and forth as waves of gray smoke flooded over the market. Inside the ranger, relays cracked and the repair drones bustled to fix burgeoning short circuits. Bright orange tongues of flame stabbed into the murky smoke as a second volley hammered the tank, and it tipped over, exposing its belly. Unsure of what to do, the ranger fired the laser randomly, but unable to traverse, it could only hit the earth and sky, not the enemy to the sides. Hydraulic systems began to leak thin red fluid on control boards, and the drones rushed to fix potentially dangerous leaks. The SEC men in the ruined cottages redoubled their efforts to load the cannons, swabbing inside the hot barrels with damp rags to kill any lingering sparks before pouring in fresh bags of black powder. The main computer of the ranger considered a million options and chose a direct tactic. All auxiliary power surged to the gyroscopes, increasing the revolutions to the maximum and then beyond. The rocking of the craft stopped altogether, and in majestic slow motion, the ranger righted itself, the treads slamming onto the ground. Now the cannon swung to attack. Dropping their wet nimrods, the armed SEC men tried to flee from the cottages and failed. On the eastern side of the ville, a platoon of SEC men hurried along a dank alleyway, struggling to carry a bulky, canvas-wrapped object approximately the size of a small car. Calling for a halt, the sergeant advanced to the stone wall and began to run his hands over the rough surface as if fondling a lover. There was a click. A section of the wall disengaged and swung aside to reveal a large tunnel.
"This is it! Everybody in!"
The platoon scurried inside as quickly as possible, the last man pausing at the entrance with blaster in hand, making sure no slaves saw their departure through the wall. The secret door closed with an echoing boom.
"What is this?"
The sergeant raised the lantern higher to spread out the light.
"Private escape route for the ward, built generations ago in case of a slave rebellion."
The corporal glanced around them.
"This is big enough for the beast to move through."
"That's why we're going to trap it outside the wall, just in case it can find the passage."
Emerging at the other side, the guards found a horse stable, a blacksmith shop, a gaudy house, and dozens of the usual slave cottages. But no people. The area was deserted.
"We'll set up in the brothel."
The sergeant started across the muddy street, his boots squishing in the filthy muck. A layer of gravel lay scattered around the gaudy house, rendering the ground more solid and less prone to make drunken customers slip and soil their uniforms. A single kick from a private rendered the front door passable, and the platoon swarmed inside. The main room was filled with patched couches and a bar made from stained planks laid across several hogshead barrels. Clearly, the establishment had been vacated recently, as a spilled beer still dripped onto the sawdust-covered floor.
"Move these couches. We'll set up here."
An area was cleared in front of the broken door, and the canvas-covered object was set down with grunts of relief. In practiced movements, the platoon busied itself unwrapping the thing. The massive autofire weapon consisted of a cylindrical firing chamber, the 8 20mm barrels joined in a circle, a top-loading ammunition box, and a squat motor, supported by a heavy tripod. It was the pride of the ville, a Vulcan minigun salvaged from the back of a pre-dark military wag the Lady Ward had found outside the ville. In the light of the oil lamps, the pre-dark superweapon gleamed like polished death.
"Bring some wine barrels from the cellar. They'll help hide us."
Then the sergeant turned.
"You there! Take cover behind the bar. Be ready to give protective fire in case of a mishap.
The man with the RPG launcher slung over his shoulder saluted and moved with due haste. Two more guards carrying the huge rounds for the weapon followed closely. Kneeling, the sergeant assisted the corporal with attaching the white ammunition belt. The dull gray cartridges for the Vulcan were thicker than a cigar and weighed considerably more than lead or steel. A guard jockeyed the belt feed into position.
What are these made of, sir?
I don't know, but the airs say it will punch through the armor of the beast like it was flesh. Here now, tighten that bolt or the first round through will be our last.
The top hatch was closed and locked in place, the firing bolt thrown, and the safety unlatched. Dangling wires were carefully attached to a collection of car batteries, and a light glowed green on a small panel.
Armed and loaded, sir. What is the plan of attack, sir?
We wait here until it goes into the tunnel.
He lit a cigar.
Begging your pardon, sir, but is that wise? Wait until it's past us? Why not fire broadside? It's an easier target.
You're a fool. Tank armor is thinnest in the back. That's our best chance to blow it to hell when it's moving away from us.
So now we wait?
Yes.
Hate waiting.
Trust me.
The sergeant blew a smoke ring at the open doorway.
You'd hate dying a lot more.
In the western courtyard, a sergeant slashed with his sword, cutting loose a team of mules from a gunnery carriage. Working like slaves, guards struggled to position the antique muzzleloader on the cobblestone courtyard before the huge iron gate. Mostly salvaged from museums and parade grounds, the Predark weapons had each been painstakingly rebuilt to function fully and had slain many bikers and muties over the years. There were already 40 assorted cannon placed in a broad semicircle in the courtyard, teams of frantic gunners preparing for the battle. More and more wags constantly arrived, carrying shot and powder. When unloaded, the wags were rolled into position and toppled onto their sides in front of the cannons to hide them from direct sight, hopefully fooling the beast for a few precious seconds until the fuses could be lit. Along the rooftops of buildings, in every window and doorway, swarms of guards with long blasters were ready to give cover fire and confuse the tank with multiple targets. Sweat poured off the lieutenant in charge. They were only going to get one chance at this. They would stop the beast or die trying. Jostling through the plowed farmlands surrounding the odd stone fortress, the ranger was apprehensive that nobody had attacked while it was crossing the open fields. Logic dictated only two possibilities. The defenders of the enemy had fled, or, much more likely, they were gathering their forces for an ambush. There was no sign of a gate or a door in the tall granite wall, but that was to be expected. Any openings would be on the other side of the stout barrier, where an invader would have to pass more traps and weapons before reaching the portal. And this wall would be much more trouble than the wooden fence. The layers of granite blocks forming the 6-yard-tall barrier was so dense that its sensors couldn't properly register the thickness. The ranger guessed at a thickness of 6 feet, but it could be a lot more. And while its polycyclic pulse cannon could blast its way through anything given enough time, it would be at a cost of mobility and power unwise to expend at the present moment. Although its attackers were using primitive weapons, the tank had already sustained minor damage, and it would be unwise to risk further disablement that could jeopardize the mission. General Order 147J/82. Unless the proper authorization codes were issued, anyone or anything attacking or escaping from the redoubt was to be terminated with extreme prejudice at all cost. There was no other option for the robotic ranger. It would pursue the invaders forever. The radio signal from the wheeled tank it was pursuing was still coming from ground level, roughly in the middle of the approaching compound. Since there was no obvious superior choice of direction, the ranger arbitrarily headed to the left and began circling, searching for the entrance, pausing only for a moment to pulse its laser at the top of the tallest tower to remove any possible sentries or video cameras from observing its progress. A screaming man on fire plummeted past the window of the citadel, distracting the heirs from their work for only an instant. Glancing into the courtyard, Amanda noted the guards scurrying about, dragging a single massive cannon in front of the citadel. Everywhere else, slaves were running amok, dashing back and forth, carrying bundles of worthless possessions or their wretched children, totally out of control. For a split instant, the Lady Ward thought she saw Ryan in the crowd, but then he was gone. She stepped away and closed the shutters. She had to have been mistaken.
And you said the cat.